listen to live here on Radio 3. And today's Private Passions features Ligeti himself in a programme first broadcast in 1997. Here's Michael Barclay.
When I recorded this conversation with George Ligeti, he was in his early 70s and firmly established as one of the most individual composers working anywhere in the world. I was hugely excited to meet him, as he's been such a terrific influence on succeeding generations of composers. For me, his music is characterized by magical, atmospheric sounds, ever-shifting textures, and idiosyncratic drama. In some ways, he was a conceptual artist who, like Duchamp or Cage, made us see and hear music in a completely fresh way. For instance, his poem Symphonique for 100 Metronomes, created in 1961, confronts the audience initially with a fantastic clattering sound as the 100 metronomes lined up in front of us are all set off, but then, as they gradually, one by one, wind down, a metaphor for life perhaps, we're left with a single lonely metronome, tick, tock, tick, tock. So it's vitally a visual as well as an oral experience. A simple idea, yes, but he conceived it, just as Duchamp made us look at objects like the famous urinal in a new way. Ligeti's output included numerous pieces for piano, concertos for the cello, piano and violin, and a wonderful opera, Le Grand Macabre. Ligeti reached a large audience beyond the concert hall when his music was used by the filmmaker Stanley Kubrick, most notably in 2001, A Space Odyssey and Eyes Wide Shut. As you'll hear, Ligeti's musical passions ranged widely around the world, but like his great predecessor, Béla Bartók, folk song from his native Hungary was a vital early inspiration, and, as he told me, it remained important throughout his life.
When I was a young composer in Budapest, I deliberately composed a lot of, for instance, choral works based on Hungarian folk songs, some of based on Romanian, which I also knew. Today, I don't have this folkloristic approach, but indirectly, you find the, you know, it's like archaeology under the underground. It's full with East European folk music, not only Hungarian and Romanian, also other Balkanese. And then I had a general interest later in everything which is folk music and not folk music. For instance, I have a deep love for jazz and a lot of other things, and not only music, everything.
Given that you went through quite strict schools of musical development, serial music, and I know you're very influenced by Boulez in some ways, Mahim. Do you feel that in a sense that music has in a sense come back, or just that the sheer individuality of each individual composer is what takes him to where he is?
I think the second solution. We don't control music history. Music history happened, and there is no plan beforehand how history, we don't know.
Which brings us very nicely to our first music, which is by a composer who is so utterly individual, and yet for many people has been a fairly recent discovery.
Nankero, you mean, yeah. So see, why I like so deeply Nankero, practically nobody knew him because he lived through a long time in Mexico City. Even in Mexico, I was once in 72 in Mexico, meeting several composers. Nobody mentioned the name of Nankero. I saw by chance a page of score, because he writes in normal score, and then he transposes on piano rolls for the player piano. I saw this score, and the score was so interesting for me, then I forgot it, and then half year later, by chance, I saw two records of Nankero in Fnac in Paris. So I bought them, and I was fascinated with the music. And I realized that Nankero's music is mainly based on Johann Sebastian Bach and on jazz. He used to be a jazz musician, jazz trumpet player. I didn't know him personally in those times. In the meantime, we became very, very close friends. And I was so fascinated by the possibility with the player piano you can produce speed and complexity, rhythmical complexity, which no living musician can do. So it's a kind of computer music, but done on mechanical instrument with punched rolls. And because of my deep love for jazz, I choose here for this program the first of his study number 3, which is a collection of different jazz pieces. The first and the fifth one are boogie-woogie pieces. And because I knew a lot of boogie-woogie and I have deep love for it's James P. Johnson and Albert Ammons and a lot of other boogie-woogie players. And somebody, this somebody is James Tenney, whom I know today, American composer, but I only heard about his name. He made once a comment like all these boogie-woogie musicians in heaven would play together boogie-woogie in different speed. And this is about Nankoro, I don't know, 5 or 6 or how many layers of boogie-woogie, real boogie-woogie, but because mixing them, of course, the idea depends very much of Charles Ives, his chaos buildings. And in this piece, it's not so obvious, but in other pieces are obvious that Nankoro has a very deep knowledge of Johann Sebastian Bach's intricate polyphonic architecture. Thank you. this is only one side of Nankaro, it's the jazz side, but he has extremely complex polyphonic pieces. He impressed me so much that when I began a bit later in 85, my piano studies, one of the influences is Nankaro, and I asked myself the question, can I, because I was more interested in living pianists, can I go in a craziness, for instance, to have same time, different speed, and I managed to write it.
Well, we heard there the study number 3A by Konrad Nankaro. The next piece will probably be less familiar still to some of our audience. It's by Claude Vivier. And what is it about this that is special for you?
I do hope that in the next couple of years this composer will be familiar. I never met him. He was killed in the year 84. I knew some of his pieces, but he was living. I very much looked. It's the same like with Nankaro. I hear music, I become enthusiastic. For me, Claude Vivier is also one of the most major composers of our time, because he established a very original style, which is also not a European avant-garde. And he imagined a kind of non-existing Far East culture. And he was there. He went to India and to Samarkand and to Java and Bali and Japan. But his music is different. And what is so intriguing is touching, is simple, homophonic, and he uses new kind of tuning systems. He was not the first. Harry Patch is very well known, and all this microtonal movement. But he used this for a very subjective, kind of romantic, decadent music, which is his own music. So I would propose to listen a section from this piece, Lonely Child. It's for soprano voice and chamber ensemble. And it gives, I think, an example of this very special tuning system and an imagination where harmony and timbre are about the same, and they are weird, they are original.
Thank you.
Music from Claude Vivier's Lonely Child with Susan Naruki, the soprano, the Schoenberg and Asko ensembles, directed by Reinbert de Leeuw. Judge Ligeti, we've talked exclusively so far, quite rightly, about 20th century music, but do you still go back a lot to classical music?
Of course. All good music. For a long time, I was very, very much concentrated on 14th century, beginning from Machaut and to 15th century Dufay, all this also intricate complexity. But I choose for this program a very known piece, which is Beethoven's Last Sonata, C minor, opus 111, because recently I got a recording of Alfred Brendel. Why I choose this? Because at the moment I like so much this piece, I always liked, and Brendel's interpretation is so absolutely wonderful for this kind of music. This is a question of interpretation. The Beethoven, all this late Beethoven, are architecture, are like big buildings in time. Instead of space, they are in time. And what is so wonderful in this Beethoven pieces, one of the wonderful aspects, how he can build a large form development. And this is one of Brendel's very deep understanding. He can follow in his piano interpretation. It's not a question of playing beautifully or virtuosity. It's a question to understand articulation, the breeding of the form, and how it's built. When the movement, always in tam-ta-tam-ta-tam, always this is three, always this triplet-like movement, when it developed to a maximum speed, then no more developing, then it's a plateau, standing still with very, very simple scale movement, fast scale movement. And after a while, the scales transform. It's a kind of metamorphosis, like the Moritz Escher drawing called Metamorphosis. And in a certain moment, they began trills. And under the trills, not the whole theme, just the typical motif of the theme, like a remainder, like a logo, comes back, and after a new development going to a coda. So it's a wonderful building. It's a huge, balanced building based on growing on a plateau and a kind of conclusion. And Brendel's interpretation follows this in a most wonderful way. So for me, this is one of the beautiful realizations.
Alfred Brendel performing the Arietta from Beethoven's Piano Sonata in C minor, Opus 111. You're listening to Private Passions with me, Michael Barclay, and a programme first broadcast in 1997 with the composer George Ligeti, whose musical enthusiasms go far beyond Europe.
Whole Africa, south of the Sahara, and a part of East Asia, not only Indonesia, but for instance, New Guinea and the Solomon Islands, are full with the most intriguing, wonderful music. I don't like only kind of ethnic cultures, but I'm also interested in cheap commercial fake folklore. For instance, one of my favorite in the 70s, I listened to so many recordings of Brasiliano samba, and even you have the, you know, the rock variant, bossa nova and all these things, which are cheap, but some are wonderful. And then by chance in 79, I composition class in Hamburg, I got a student, Roberto Sierra, coming from Puerto Rico. Of course, I knew a lot of Caribbean music, but he bought with himself a lot of recordings which you cannot find in the shops. You can find them in Puerto Rico or in Spanish Harlem in New York. And then I began to be very interested in salsa, which is a fake combination made in New York, in fact, by Cuban exiles and Puerto Rican people and so on and so on. And being interested in samba and always in the asymmetric. I was interested in polyphony, polyrhythm, asymmetric music. And then by chance I heard a recording, it was in 82, of Central African Republic, the Banda Linda tribe. This was Roberto Sierra. What was so totally shocking and new in the Central African polyphonic, polyrhythmic music. For instance, here we have an example of whistle ensemble of the Banda Linda tribe. I cannot count how many, more than 5 and less than 15, because some of the whistles produce one pitch, others, the high one, produce two different pitches. What is interesting that these people play just one note, but in different rhythmic patterns. And a combination, which is like a hoquetus, it's like Marchot, Hoquetus David, it's like late medieval European music. These short notes, and played by different people, for the listener, and also for the player, when they are playing and listening themselves, give a kind of complex, a kaleidoscope or a carpet. What is clear that you have a steady pulsation, but the music is not filling this steady pulsation, it's somewhere outside of it. You have to think in non-played elementary units, which are, they move it. If they dance, you can see it. If you have a film, you understand. The music, you don't understand. Thank you.
Whistle Ensemble with music from the Central African Republic. Judge Licker, you did mention a strong visual image just now, and I wonder, since this programme is called Private Passions, do you have a strong interest in the visual arts and
yes.
the literature?
Yes. Well, I have so many interests. I can tell you I'm not interested in medicine. I don't like diseases. I'm not interested in juridic questions because I don't like quarrel. Administration, marketing.
But if we were to talk about the things you do like, in terms of painters, for example, or novelists, who would you talk about?
There are a lot. Listen, I have a very, very large field of interest, and this is my difficulty, therefore, therefore I am always tired. Too interested.
All right, we'll go back to some more music. We're going to hear a traditional piece now, Pierre.
And this is also Central African Republic, a different language, different culture, which is Gbaya, the Gbaya people. You will always look in this, people who don't know these cultures, always thinking everything is ritual or religious. Not at all. They have concert music, and it's like in Europe. These people have a special genre. I tell it in French because the collection is in French. Chants à penser, songs for thinking and for worrying. And these are a kind of half love songs and half thinking about what in Europe we call philosophy, really thinking about deep questions, whatever the deep questions are, why we live and so, in their own culture. And in this Gbaya thinking songs, there is text, they are sung, there are some percussion instruments, and the same, this kind of mbira, or some, maybe it has another likembe, or there are a different name of this some xylophone. Usually two people, or even more. It's a very simple music, very monotone. If you listen superficially, it's nothing. You have to understand the deep beauty. It's like the beauty of certain geometrical structures, or of complex Anatolian carpets, you know, or of Arab Islamic art in Granada, or Book of Kells, you know, it's highly complex, but in appearance of simplicity, and even not understanding the text, we can feel the character, a certain kind of melancholy and stillness. I'm gonna make you mine.
People of Central Africa. Let's finish on a completely different note, but a connected note, Church Likati, this fascinating journey we've been on, because you mentioned briefly gamelan, which again is another multi-layered set of rhythms going on at a fantastically complex level. And I suppose that we're more familiar with that in Western music because of Debussy, and from the Paris exhibition, and then on it came into Western music.
Indonesia was much more known than these African cultures.
What is it for you in gamelan, as opposed to perhaps what we've been listening to from Africa?
Oh, the two, even geographically, they are far away, but there are so deep similarities. It's similar because the gamelan players, sometimes there are huge orchestras of several of 20 people playing. They have this interlocking technique, having a pattern and another pattern and a two pattern or several patterns give in complexity, and there are certain rhythmic melodic patterns which are not performed but heard. In gamelan, there's a lot of research of it. There are certain sections, the so-called colotomic structure, so deep gong instruments which divide in sections and according to very severe rules. There are a lot of gamelan traditions. I am personally extremely like for Africa, very, very much. So it's the beauty of the sound, beauty of these metallic instruments, the very special and different tuning system, dividing the octave in five, which is called slendro, or in seven, which is called pelog. There are different cultures. And better known Bali, because Bali became very touristical, and that's the gong kebiar. It's a whole style in gamelan music, which is fast and brilliant, and it's a feedback between tourism and genuine culture. But in Java still exists the two main cities with old royal palace, which are the Kraton in Surakarta and in Yogyakarta. Really, this example, I could choose other examples which are more interesting from rhythmical and melodic, but this I choose because the absolutely wonder of the color of this metal, of the timbre of this metal instruments from the... And these Javanese court traditions, for instance, this for Surakarta, is more simple than the new Balinese. You have on Bali Gong Gede, which is the old tradition. You have so many traditions.
Thank you very much, Judge Ligeti, for talking to us and introducing us to all of this music, much of which is completely new to me at any rate, and finish with Gending and Dengung Turulare.
Nayan Praja performing Gunding and Dungung Turalare. The final choice of Giorgi Ligeti, who was Michael Barclay's guest on Private Passions in 1997. It was a classic arts production for BBC Radio 3. You can hear Ligeti's Concert Romanesque and his violin concerto performed by Isabel Faust in this evening's prom, live from the Royal Albert Hall at 7:30. This is Radio 3, 90 to 93 FM, digital radio, BBC Sounds, and on most smart speakers. Just ask for BBC Radio 3. It's 1 o'clock news time now. This is Andrew Peach. England are 1-0 down to Spain in the final few moments of the Women's World Cup final in Sydney. Olga Carmona slotted the ball past the Lionesses goalkeeper Mary Earps midway through the first half. Later, Earps saved a penalty taken by Jennifer Hermoso. Whichever side wins will take the trophy for the first time. Russia's first attempt at a moon landing in almost 50 years has failed. The unmanned Luna 25 spacecraft suffered problems as it moved into its pre-landing orbit and crashed into the moon. It was scheduled to land tomorrow to explore a part of the moon which scientists think could hold frozen water and precious elements. Russia was racing to the moon's south pole against India, whose spacecraft is scheduled to land there next week. The Conservative MP who chairs the Health Select Committee has joined calls for the government to beef up the powers of the independent inquiry into how the nurse Lucy Letby was able to murder 7 babies and attempt to kill another 6 at the Countess of Chester Hospital. Steve Brine said it should be led by a judge and have the power to compel witnesses to give evidence. Ministers say the inquiry will provide all the answers sought by parents of murdered babies. The leader of last month's coup in Niger has said the country will return to civilian rule within 3 years. In a televised address, General Abdourahamane Tchiani rejected a demand by the regional body ECOWAS for a quick restoration of the constitution. The descendants of one of Britain's most famous prime ministers, William Gladstone, are to apologise for their family's role in the slave trade and pay reparations. The Liberal politician's father, John Gladstone, was one of the large slave owners in the British West Indies. His great-great-great-grandson, Charlie Gladstone, and 5 other family members will travel to Guyana this week. Iranian state media say the head of a real estate agency has been arrested after an online video showed his firm selling an apartment to a dog. In the video, which shows a woman helping the animal place its paws on an ink pad, the couple said they had no heirs, so decided to sell the property to the small white dog called Chester. The weather, rain in Northern Ireland and Scotland this afternoon, elsewhere mainly dry with some sunny spells. The chance of an odd shower here and there. BBC News, it's 1:02.
BBC Radio 3, the home of the BBC Proms. An 8-week summer extravaganza, live every night of the week.
You're never quite sure what's going to happen next with this lot.
There's something for everyone.
Horrible histories, horrible opera!
The ultimate concert experience.
I don't think I've ever seen the Albert Hall.